God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. We're going to do something a little different today for our sermon. You're going to help with the sermon today. Nervous laughter. Okay. Take out your hymnal. Turn to hymn 357. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Amen. So the prophet Isaiah prophesied, as you heard me just read, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Likewise, Matthew the evangelist quotes this very same passage from Isaiah, saying it's fulfilled. Fulfilled in the birth of Jesus by the Virgin Mary. We say in the Creed, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So this morning, as we bring Advent to a close, and as we prepare for Christmas Eve in just a few hours, and as we've done a couple of times before, maybe, our sermon is really some devotional thoughts interspersed with stanzas of this great Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, hymn 357. This wonderful hymn is based on antiphons that were used in the ancient Vesper services, actually an evening prayer service that started around the 12th century after Jesus' birth. I was thinking about that. It's the time of the Second Crusades and the Vikings. Paper is being invented. That's when this started. So what's an antiphon? An antiphon is a verse or a saying that you use to begin or end a psalm or a other reading. And in the 7 days leading up to Christmas, these antiphons were written for those Vesper services. And if you look in your hymnal, you'll see these antiphons printed after verses 6 and 7 of the hymn. And as you can see there, they all start with the word O. O wisdom, O Adonai, O root of Jesse. O followed by a name or title of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we were singing that song earlier, Jesus' name above all names, the song included a whole bunch of those. Well, that's what these antiphons are for. They're references to God. And so they're called these great antiphons, these great O antiphons of Advent. Well, there's seven of those, and there's seven stanzas of the hymn. But matching them up is just a little bit confusing because the first stanza of the hymn actually matches the seventh antiphon. So this morning as we sing this song or this hymn, we're actually going to start with stanza two, if everything works out okay. Get nervous looks from the band here already. So we'll do that in a minute. And as an Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel expresses a sense of expectation and a sense of longing and anticipation, anticipating the coming of our Lord. And really, if you think about it, that's what God's people did back in Isaiah's day, Isaiah the prophet, and really throughout all the Old Testament, anticipating the coming of the Lord. They watched, they waited, they looked forward in faith to God's promise coming true. And that's indeed what we do here today. We cling to the promise of God sending us a Savior. And that's what happened, in fact, that Christmas day. Savior came. He comes for you today. And that anticipation, I think, is reflected in the petitions of this hymn. Each of these verses that we're going to sing is really a prayer. We sing and we pray, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. That's our desire, that God would dwell with his people. That's how it was in the beginning. God created everything in 6 days. 6 days. And along the way, he as he created things, he said, that's good. That's good. Then when he was done creating man and woman, he said, that's very good. And then God was pleased to walk with his people, Adam and Eve, in the garden. Imagine that yourself, walking with God in the garden. Asking him whatever you wanted to ask him. What's that? It's a bat. What's that? It's a kangaroo. What's that? That's your husband. Not in that order. Well, anyway, God was pleased with his creation. He was pleased with his creatures until sin entered. Sin entered and screwed up everything. Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent, by Satan, and fell into sin. And ever since then, since that brokenness that we've all lived in since then, well, the Lord has had a plan to set things back so that he would dwell with us again. And really, that's the thread that keeps the whole Bible together. The thread of God's promise of salvation for us, of a Savior to come through the seed of the woman ever since Genesis 3. God is at work to restore his creation to himself, that he may dwell with it in peace. And this hymn traces that salvation history as we go through it. Each antiphon and each verse that we're going to sing reflect part of that expectation, a stage, if you will, in God's salvation history. And each antiphon ends with a petition that says, Lord, come. And the refrain of the hymn that we sing exhorts us to rejoice in the gospel promise of Emmanuel, God with us, who will come to Israel. So we begin with the antiphon for December 17th. O wisdom proceeding from the mouth of the Most High, pervading and permeating all creation, mightily ordering all things, come and teach us the way of prudence. Proverbs 8 talks about the wisdom of God, by whom all things were created. The New Testament and the early church connected the wisdom of God to creation through Jesus, our Savior. In John's Gospel, this is connected to the Word becoming flesh to dwell with us again. And our prayer is that we learn from Jesus the wisdom of God, how that we may live wise lives, living the way of wisdom, which is really nothing other than the way of salvation. So we sing stanza 2 of hymn 357. Thank you. antiphon for December 18th reads, O Adonai and ruler of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai, come with an outstretched arm and redeem us. In the book of Exodus, we learn that God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, calling him to bring God's people out of slavery in Egypt. So in this antiphon and in stanza 3, we ask the Lord to come and redeem us, just as he redeemed the Israelites. This is fulfilled in Adonai, which means our Lord Jesus, as God dwells among his people to save us from our sin. We sing stanza 3. Antiphons in the next two verses both deal with David, King David. The first one mentions Jesse, David's father. The antiphon for December 19th reads, O root of Jesse, standing as an ensign before the peoples, before whom all kings are mute, to whom the nations will do homage, come quickly to deliver us. David, the son of Jesse, became king of Israel by God's choosing. God chose him and made great promises to him and to his house. Through David and his descendants, Israel was to be delivered. We hear that repeatedly in our Christmas messages. Jesus is from the house and lineage of David, the true branch of Jesse's tree. He's the one who truly saves us. The antiphon for December 20th is also about David. O key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can close. You close and no one can open. Come and rescue the prisoners who are in darkness and the shadow of death. We sing verses 4 and 5, stanzas 4 and 5. Pray that Jesus would come and rescue us from death and lead us to our heavenly home. And at this time of year, we've actually reached the darkest part of the year. There's less daylight this week than any week in the calendar. Darkness is often equated with sin and evil. God's promises, however, enlighten the darkness. In many of the prophets, he speaks of the light that is to come into the world. So the antiphon for December 21st reads, O day spring, splendor of light everlasting, come and enlighten those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the day spring, the bright morning star. He's the one who comes to enlighten our darkness and rescue those who live in the shadow of death. We sing stanza 6. And divided world, we find divisions and strife in all aspects of our lives, even in the church. This too is a result of sin and something that we ourselves cannot free ourselves from. We can never eliminate it entirely. But God is our King, and He is the King above all sin and above all division. And He is at work through Jesus in our lives now. In our lives to bring wholeness and reunification. Only He can bring peace. He's done this in Jesus' birth, in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He does it now in the forgiveness of sins brought to you in God's holy word and in God's holy sacrament. One day, He will bring it again to you in full, when He comes again as the King of Peace. The antiphon for December 22nd reads, O King of the nations, the ruler they long for, the cornerstone uniting all people, come and save us all whom You formed out of clay. We sing stanza 7. Isaiah prophesied that the virgin would conceive and bear a son. His name would be called Emmanuel. Mary bore Jesus, the one whose name means God saves. Matthew chapter 1 makes it clear that this Jesus is our Emmanuel. He is God with us who was to come. In Jesus, God has come to dwell with His people and save His people. The last antiphon reads, O Emmanuel, our King and our Lord, the anointed for the nations and their Savior, come and save us, O Lord our God. Come and save us, O Lord our God. He has done it in Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, born for me and for you. He has done it in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And now we wait, as the hymn says, in lonely exile here, waiting for the Son of God to appear yet again. In Jesus, God has come and will come again. We wait in hope, knowing that God does what He says. And so we sing, Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Please stand as we sing stanza one. Surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. While you're standing, I invite you to turn to either the last cover of your hymnal, or I don't know if it's on the next slide. Yes, the Apostles' Creed. We confess together our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, the time of preparation is almost over, and your visitation is near. Keep us focused on the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. May it bring about the obedience of faith in us and all who hear your word this season. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you continue to provide pastors for your church to proclaim the coming of your Son. Be with all church workers as they work to serve your people with the gifts of word and sacrament. Allow them to boldly speak the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been revealed. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, look with mercy upon Donald, our president, Andrew, our governor, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. May they use their authority wisely and according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for those who look out for our well-being and protect us from harm. Give your blessing and protection to the police, our firefighters, our medical workers, the members of our armed forces, and to all first responders whose vocations put them in the front lines of danger, trouble, and disaster. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, nothing is impossible with you. You sent your Son into the world to be the great physician of body and soul. Give to all who are ill comfort and healing, if it be your will, and patience and trust that come what may, you are with them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, even as we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, he comes to us in the sacrament of the altar. May all who receive the bread and wine, that is the body and blood of Jesus, do so for the strengthening of faith and for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, while we await the coming of your Son, we remember with thanksgiving those who were before us in the faith and those who are now with you. Keep and preserve us in the one true faith to life everlasting until you bring us together with them into your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. And to your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the offering.